Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. I'm Maggie Westfold, your host for today. Hello to everyone listening, and thank you for joining us. I want to remind everyone that it's spring fundraising time when we ask our loyal listeners to support us and donate. Help us to stay on the air with great programs like Local Talk and for your listening enjoyment. If you find yourself regularly tuning in to 89.1 FM at home or in your car, or if you stream us live on our website, please consider supporting us by donating. Just go to www.khoifm.org and click on the donate button, or call 515-292-2878, or come in to see us. We'd love to meet you and show you around the studio. $55 will give you a basic membership, which would also, that would make a great gift for someone, those people in your life that are hard to buy for, and we appreciate every contribution. Today, we're going to be talking about wood carving. First, I'll remind you about a popular annual wood carving event coming again soon at Ryman Gardens. Adventures in Wood will be held once again on Saturday, May 5th from 8:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. Come out for a fun day of wood carving and take a stroll among the butterflies and the tropical plants while you're at Ryman. You'll see carvers demonstrating, and if you'd like, you could even try a hands-on lessons with whittling and carving. Kids can try carving, too, if they'd like. We do ask a parent to sign a permission slip for any that are 17 or younger. Lots of beautiful carvings will be on display that day, and you can vote for your favorites. There's first, second, and third cash prizes that'll be awarded in several categories. There's also will be a table for special carvings that won't be judged. If you're a carver and you'd like to compete, you just need to have your carving there before 9 a.m., and then they'll be judged at 3 p.m. Larry Mitchell of Ames has been chairing this event for 10 years now. Larry's a member of the Mid-Iowa Wood Carvers. It's a club that presents the show. Larry is a great carver and instructor, and my husband Steve and I used to sit and carve regularly with Larry and several others at the Ames home of Stan and Tammy Heyer. Those are great, fun memories, and we always said if you're making a pile of wood chips on the floor, you're having fun, and that's a fact. Art Mann of Ames was in that group also, and Art has been helping Larry with organizing this event every year. You may recognize Art's name. Art Mann is a talented local carver. He's known around the Midwest, and his carvings often win best of show in competitions. Adventures in Wood is free for Ryman Garden members and for ISU students, but there is a charge for the general public. Box lunches will be available for purchase also. And to find out more about Adventures in Wood, being held May 5th from 8:30 to 4 at Ryman Gardens, you can go to rymangardens.com on the internet, or that'll take you to their website, rymangardens.com, and click on events, and then scroll down and you'll find Adventures in Wood. And you can also check out Facebook pages for Mid-Iowa Wood Carvers or Ryman Gardens on Facebook. You can call Larry Mitchell also. The event chairman, his number is 515-357-5110. My husband Steve and I plan to be at the show, and I assure you, you're going to be impressed with the carving talent displayed there. So come by and enjoy. And if you'd like, pick up a knife and give it a try. Maggie Westfold, and we're talking about wood carving today. My husband Steve and I are carvers, and back in March, we hit the road to go to one of the largest wood carving events in the country. It was in Springfield, Missouri. I'd like to share some of that trip with you. At the seminar, we met Lauren Woodard from Sunrise Beats, Missouri, one of the organizers of that event. Take a listen. My recordings start out with Steve and me in the car on our way to Missouri. This is Maggie Westfold, KHOI Community Radio, and my husband Steve and I are on the road today, driving south to Springfield, Missouri, for the 8th Annual Ozarks Wood Carving Seminar. It starts this evening, March 18th, and will continue through March 23rd. We've made this traditional trip to Springfield together for many years. We're guessing 7 or 8. Ames isn't typically into spring weather this time of year, so we like the fact that we can go south to spring in southern Missouri for a week plus, and then by the time we get back home, it's usually looking more promising spring-wise in Ames. The Ozark Wood Carving Seminar brings in the finest professional instructors to teach their style of carving. They also offer a handful of other craft classes for non-carvers, that's usually carver spouses, and they do fun things like quilting or painting with watercolors or acrylics. The event is held at the Knights of Columbus Hall in Springfield and typically brings in around 250 carvers from all over the country. That's one of the great things about carving, probably any hobby that you get into and stay with. You meet the neatest people from all over, and at events like this, we get to see them annually when we all gather for a seminar like this. I'm going to be carving with 10 or 12 other carvers with instructor Carolyn Holbrook from Texas again. I've carved with Carolyn for many years now, and I thoroughly enjoy spending a week with her. She's a retired art teacher, a great chip carving instructor, and just a great lady. I'm going to let my husband Steve tell you now about his class. Steve?
I'm going to be carving with Harold Enlow of Marble Falls, Arkansas. Harold is a charter member of the Caricature Carvers of America, and he's also generally recognized as the granddaddy of caricature carving in the country. I've known Harold for over 20 years and thoroughly enjoy spending time with him and carving with him. I also look forward to a great week meeting carving friends from all over the country, spending time together and catching up on what they've been up to. It promises to be a great week.
Thank you, Steve. I'm just looking out the window here. We're lucky today. We have a nice driving day. It's calm, no wind, which can toss our little car around sometimes. It's about 45 degrees and a little overcast. It's supposed to warm up a little more this afternoon, but the overcast, that means we have no sun in our eyes while we're riding along. We like that. This is Maggie Westfold, the KHOI Community Radio, and I am here today with Lauren Woodard. Lauren, you're one of the main organizers of this event, along with John Engler, right?
That's correct.
Oh, okay, and is there a guy named Greg works with you too?
Well, yeah, Greg does.
What's Greg's last name?
You just caught me off.
Okay, we'll get that in there later.
Yeah,
and I also want to talk about your wife, Carol. She helps you, right?
Yes, she does.
Yeah, we don't want to forget that one.
She does all of our name badges and our paperwork, and right. I put our brochures together. And Greg is an instructor here, but he really don't help put the event on.
Okay, all right. I've just seen him helping at your, when you hand out the prizes.
Yeah.
He likes to hand out prizes. That's why I see him so much.
All right.
Tell me just a little bit about the beginnings of this event. How long has it been going on? I know it's been in Springfield for, what, eight years now?
It's 8 years. It used to be held at Silver Dollar City. They stopped doing a seminar, so John and I visited with them and asked if they cared if we took over the seminar. And they give us their mailing list and the whole nine yards, and we took it over right after they ceased to do it.
Okay. My husband, Steve, and I came to it for 2 years before it left Silver Dollar City, but I wasn't sure how long it had been there. So we've been doing it for, I guess this would be our 10th year, and it's always fun. We look forward to coming down here. I see license plates from all over. Do you know how many states are represented?
You know, I don't. We've got people from Canada. Last year I had a student from Alaska. So they come from all over. We have a lot of them from here, Wisconsin,
right.
Iowa, you know, here in the central area. But they come, now we've got a couple here from New York today, you know, this week. And so they come from all over the place.
Right. I'm carving in my class, which is chip carving. There's a lady beside me, she's right from Kansas City, and there's a guy from Indianapolis, Indiana, and a woman from Texas. I'm from Iowa, and I haven't cued in on where they... Ohio, and we have a gal from Ohio, so it's quite a mix of people. Let's talk a little about your class. You teach is intaglio?
I teach intaglio relief.
Talk about what intaglio relief is.
Okay, there's two types of relief carving. Standard relief, your carved theme sets out from the board. In other words, the entire perimeter gets carved down so everything stands out. On intaglio, everything carves down into the wood, so all the carving on an intaglio project is lower than the original height of the wood.
Okay. It all ends up beautiful. I haven't tried, I've only just barely played with relief carving, but that's the frustrating thing about these seminars. There's so many fun things to try. I stick with chip carving because I always tell people my one-cell brain works better on a flat surface. I'm not sure if that's the explanation, but it I just love chip carving. So
I'll tell you this about chip carving. It's not as easy as it looks. All those little faucets has got to be in there just right, and if you don't get them just right, you leave little, I call them Klingons, these little
whiskers,
things down in the bottom of your chip. So it's not no easy thing.
You know what I did yesterday? I don't know if I'll ever do this again. I took a picture with my smartphone of one of my cuts, and then I blew it up. Oh,
hello.
My. Don't do that. Yeah. That really intimidated the heck out of myself. But it helped me go in and clean that up. I have a new method for helping with my carving. But that was rather eye-opening. Who taught you how to carve?
Oh, you know, I bought my first... Well, I didn't buy. My wife bought my first set of tools at Silver Dollar City. I've been carving for 28 years. And we'd go down there, and she would go around to all the various shops, and I'd stay in the wood carving shop. So she bought me a set of carving tools and signed me up with a class with Ed Carpenter, who's now gone, but Ed was a good guy, and he taught me how to carve, and he was kind of my mentor for 15 years, I guess.
What'd you carve that time?
The first carving I ever done was a realistic Indian, and Ed done a good job.
Wow. Well, I'm sure you did your own good job on that. That realistic carving, I don't think I'd even attack. I admire that. We have so much talent in this building when this event occurs. It's amazing to see the realistic but the caricature carving. My husband is in Harold Inlow's class, and he's one of the greatest caricature carvers ever, probably the father of caricature carving in this country, right?
He is. He is. Pete Engler got him carving right as he come out of the service, and Harold is kind of the godfather of caricature carving, and he's a member of the CCA. That's Caricature Carvers of America. Okay. And he has, I think, 7 or 8 books out, and he's just really, really a fine man and a good carver. Great instructor.
Yep. He and his wife have become good friends of ours and just wonderful people. And he is, my husband says, I'd pay to sit down and listen to Harold tell stories.
Oh, yeah.
So he carves with him every year. Well, let's see, can you just talk a little bit about the other kinds of carving that we have? going on here at this event?
We have all kinds of stuff going on. We got Vic Hood. He teaches realistic bus how to butternut logs. When he comes in, you just get a piece of wood that looks like a chunk of firewood, and he'll take a chainsaw and rough it out for you. Then you go on and get it done. Then we've got Izzo. He teaches architectural carving. He does lots of mantles, mirror frames, things like that. We've got John Engler doing relief. We've got beginning carving. We've got two or three caricature carvers. We've got two animal carvers that does realistic animals. Both of them, in my opinion, are some of the best in the United States.
Beautiful
are really
stuff.
Good. Now, let's see. What else we got?
Did we talk Chip?
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yep,
we
that's
didn't.
All right. That's Carolyn Hallbrook.
Carolyn
from Texas.
Hallbrook doing
she's
her
a,
chip carving.
She's a retired art teacher, and her eye is just amazing. Her carving is beautiful, and she's a wonderful teacher. She is a teacher. So
yes, she's
she loves
very
teaching.
Good, and just an excellent artist. Altogether, we've got 18 instructors here. We've got 173 students, 18 instructors. And just about all facets of wood carving are mm-hmm. covered. So mm-hmm. We try to have something for everybody.
Is there anything else carving-wise you want to say or about the event we haven't covered?
Well, I really can't think of anything. I would like to invite people that are into the arts or want to learn how to wood carve. You know, mm-hmm. look for us on the Internet. We're at www.ozarkswoodcarvingseminar. That's ozarkswoodcarvingseminar, all one word, .com. And you can see what kind of classes we've got. You're welcome to come. We have a beginner's class that will get you started. If you've done a little carving, well, just about all of our instructors invite you into their class. So.
Mm-hmm. And I want to say again that Lauren that I'm talking to here works with John Engler. They do a lot of work every year to put this thing together. I don't think I have any appreciation for the work that goes into it. So we appreciate, my husband and I appreciate the fact that it's just sitting here waiting for us. So,
and Greg's last name that I was drawing a blank, it's Greg Thompson.
I just was drawing a blank a minute ago. Yeah, well, he's involved. He helps him out. And, again, Lauren's wife, Carol, does a lot of background work for him. I know Dee Hallbrook does your website for you.
Yes, he does.
He's the husband of my instructor, Carolyn. And lots of people work hard to put this together. And thank you, Lauren, for talking with me today.
Well, you're most welcome. I appreciate the opportunity.
This is Maggie Westfold on KHOI Community Radio, and it's spring fundraising time again. I'd like to say how much I have enjoyed personally being a part of the volunteers here at KHOI this past year. It's truly a community effort here at the station to continue to bring you varied and interesting programming. And I, for one, would be sad if this station wasn't on the air. So please give if you can and help us to pay for all it takes to keep this going. You can go to khoifm.org, their website, and click on the donate button. Or you can call 292-2878. That's 515-292-2878. Or come on by and see us at 410 Douglas. We'd love to meet you, and we'd give you a tour around the studio. $55 will give you a basic membership. So think about buying a membership or giving it as a gift to someone in your life that might be hard to buy for. And thank you, everyone, for contributing. This is Maggie Westfold. I just want to say before we go on with wood carving talk that One of the fun but minor parts of helping to put a show like this together is those little clips of music you hear now and then. You just heard from a great local band. They're pretty well known, the Barn Owl Band. And that was a sampling of their Gaspé Reel. I hope you enjoy listening to this lively group of musicians as much as I do. If you just joined us, I've been sharing about the wood carving craft. That's a hobby that my husband and I both love. And last month, Steve and I went to one of the largest annual seminars of wood carvers in the country in Springfield, Missouri. And while we were there, I was able to interview Carolyn and Dee Hallbrook from Pinehurst, Texas. They're both carvers, and Carolyn is an instructor. Let's listen. Okay, this is Maggie Westfold with KHOI Community Radio, and I am visiting right now with Carolyn and Dee Hallbrook from Texas. They are part of the Ozark Wood Carving Seminar that Steve and I are attending in Springfield, Missouri, and Carolyn happens to be my instructor in chip carving, and we're going to talk a little bit about this whole experience. Carolyn, where are you from in Texas?
I'm from Pinehurst, Texas, which is just northwest of Houston.
Carolyn has had me as a student in her chip carving class for, 5 years?
Maybe.
Okay. And I'm still trying to learn. She's an excellent instructor, excellent carver, a retired art teacher. And I should not be telling you this stuff because I want her to talk about her. Tell me how you got started in chip carving.
Well, Dee, my husband, has been a carver all of his life, just about, and he really enjoys it.
Say hi, Dee.
Hi there.
And I started carving with him, not too long after we got married, and I cut my hand first time, and I didn't carve again for about 40 years. So anyway, we started going to seminars, and we were taking our vacation to go to seminars. So he was taking classes. So, you know, that left me with, well, what do I do? So I had seen chip carving, and I had really liked it. I thought it was really pretty, and you only needed to get one knife. Mm-hmm. So I thought, well, I would give it a try, and I have enjoyed doing that ever since.
Okay, yeah, I know that joke about only needing one knife, because what happens, I did the same thing. I followed my husband, Stephen, to wood carving. He's here, too. Say hello, Steve.
Hi.
Okay, that's my husband, Steve Westfold, and we have Dee Hallbrook is with Carolyn. I followed Stephen to carving, as I said, and chip carving, before too long, I hit on chip carving, and I thought, yeah, you only need one knife. And Carol and I have discussed the fact that we own way more than one knife now. Right?
That's right. You never can tell when you might need another knife.
And the handles are so pretty. You have to have another one because the handle is different from any other knife you own, right? So chip carving is... Carolyn, can you just briefly describe what chip carving is for people who aren't familiar with it?
Well, chip carving is usually done on a flat surface, and it can be either geometric or it can be freeform. The geometric, you put it, the pattern, on something like a plate or a box or anything that has a flat surface. You carve the pattern with one knife, and frequently, it's like with three chips. It goes down into the wood, and the chips meet in the center, and the chip pops out. And you can get a very wide range of patterns out of this. The free form is more, it's not geometric, so you can do just about anything with it, but it's like incised carving. It's still on the flat surface, it still goes down, and you can do things like flowers and leaves, butterflies, birds, just any number of things. So it gives you a wide variety of things that you can do. The other thing that I really like about chip carving is. You can do it on things that are completely decorative that you can hang on the wall or sit on the shelf, but you can also do it on a lot of things that are very functional. And I really like this because a lot of times when you do carvings in the round, they're just to sit on the shelf or hang on the wall.
Right. So with chip carving, you can end up, you're maybe more likely to end up with something you can
actually
use.
Using things,
yeah,
yes.
I like that about it also. Dee and Steve, you happen to be in the same class together this year with Harold Inlow. I'm going to let, Dee, I'm going to let you talk about Harold and how you started carving. First of all, how you started carving, and then Harold Inlow and why you enjoy carving with him, the different kinds of carving you've done, whatever you'd like to say about wood carving.
I started carving when I was really young, carving little dogs and things like that, and actually I carved through my high school years and all through my education, and then I went into service and I carved some things there, and then during the time in the service, I started reading about wood carving and caricature carving. That's what I do. Like cowboys and things like that, and in the round. And one carver that was predominant in the beginning was Harold Inlow. So I really enjoy taking classes from Harold and a lot of the other guys. But Harold, I have a lot of his books, and so I decided that when we came up here, I'd try to get classes with Harold. And Harold was so busy that until I do the website for this show, and until I started doing the website, and it moved here to Springfield, I wasn't able to get into class because you had to almost die to get a seat in the class. But ever since I have started doing the site and it moved up here, I've tried to get in almost every year. In fact, I had the last seat in the class this time.
Steve, I know how you love to carve with Harold. I call Steve a Harold groupie, and it sounds to me like Dee could fall in there for sure, too. Steve, you want to just talk a little bit about how you started carving and Harold, your love for Harold's carving and his teaching style and anything else you'd like to say?
Well, I started carving about the time I was an adult scouter. I was an assistant scoutmaster, and one of the merit badges was wood carving. As a boy, I whittled. I didn't really carve anything, but I loved to use a knife. And so I didn't get into taking any classes because I have zero artistic ability. And I would look at the carvings that I saw, and I was intimidated. Finally, I'd go see the carvers at the state fair each year, talk to them and admire their work. Finally, I had one of the carvers tell me, you don't have to have any artistic ability. All you're doing is carving shapes, and then you put all the shapes together. And he was starting a beginning class through adult education in Des Moines, so I took the class. And I've been taking classes ever since. I stumbled into a class with Harold Inlow at the Norwegian-American Museum in Decorah, Iowa. He was teaching there. I had no idea at the time who Harold was or just how famous he really was. But I was fascinated. So following that class, and his teaching style is laid back. And no matter how miserable my carving was, he would find something positive to say about it. Mm-hmm. And if you really got in trouble, he would be able to fix it. The way he'd say it is, when I see a student that has made a mistake or has an issue, I'm able to help them fix it. Because I've made all those mistakes many times over. Now, my guess is it's probably maybe been 40 years ago or more that he might have made a mistake like that. Mm-hmm. But he is truly one of the nicest guys I've ever met. And so, yes, I'd have to say I'm a Harold groupie. I'll take his classes whenever I get a chance, and he's just walking through the lobby as we speak. My other favorite instructor is Harley Refsel, who's a retired professor from Luther College in Decorah, Iowa, and he's the expert on Scandinavian flat plane carving. And after I met him, I quickly learned that he and Harold had to have been cut from the same cloth, because they're both great instructors and they both have an easy temperament. They're fun to be around and they tell great stories while you're learning.
Okay. Dee, do you have any? You have anything to add to that? I know that you do a lot of work to help Carolyn be a teacher, and you're always, I mean, you're in a class, you're being a student and enjoying yourself, and you do the website for the organization. You do a lot to support her in being a carving teacher. Did you realize when she started this what that was going to amount to?
We needed to have some wood, and we knew that we would have to have wood. We needed to have it so people could draw on it. It has gotten a little more than I had anticipated in the beginning, but it's a natural progression. We get our wood shipped in from Minnesota or Wisconsin. Then I sand both sides of it, and then I give it to Carolyn, and she draws on it. And then I use a scroll saw to cut different shapes, and then Carolyn sands it. It's a little bit more than I anticipated. I didn't anticipate, or neither one of us anticipated, was the fact that some things that we can't make, we try to buy outside, and it's kind of hard to get them.
You said something a minute ago. Some people may not understand why people in Texas would get their wood way north in Wisconsin and Minnesota. Why do you do that?
The best basswood is grown up north in the coal country. We have basswood down in Texas, but it's not fit to carve on. We get it up north, and we get it cut to our liking, and then we smooth it down so we can draw on it.
Okay.
Basswood in Iowa, it's not fit to carve with, but you can do a lot of other things. So we get ours from Minnesota and Wisconsin, too.
Yeah, the colder climates, I think it slows the growth, right? It's a slower rate of growth.
That's what I've heard.
So it's better wood. One of the major woods used for carving is basswood, the linden tree. Butternut, let's see, what do you think of any other woods? Catalpa?
Yes. Catalpa, tupelo, cypress.
Okay.
Cypress,
but basswood and butternut are primarily what you'll see at carving events. So thank you, Carolyn and Dee Hallbrook from Pinehurst, Texas, north of Houston. I appreciate your being a part of an interview for a program that will air in central Iowa.
Thank you for letting us be part of your show.
You're welcome. And thank you, Steve, for being a part of the conversation.
You're certainly welcome.
Just heard a bit of Behind the Haystack by the Barn Owl Band. I'm Maggie Westfold, and today I'm sharing my love for wood carving with you. My husband Steve and I were recently able to speak with several wood carvers at an annual carving seminar in Springfield, Missouri. This next interview we're going to listen to was especially fun for Steve to be a part of, because Harold Enlow from Marble Falls, Arkansas, has become not only one of his favorite instructors, but a great friend. And Harold's wife, Elaine, is one of the sweetest ladies we've ever had the pleasure of knowing. Let's listen. This is Maggie Westfold with KHOI Community Radio, and we are talking today with Harold and Elaine Enlow.
My grandfather liked to whittle. He had an old Barlow pocket knife, which you could buy then pretty cheap. And he taught me how to sharpen the way he sharpened. He didn't know about buffing and stropping and all that. So, you know, the knife sort of cut, but good enough. Later on, I found out that there's some things you can make them even sharper. So that's what I do now. My early carving, Granddad taught me how to make things to play with. And finally, my mom bought me a knife. I asked her for one, and when she went to the store, she brought me back a little old knife about 2 inches long, and it looked like a bowling ball pin. It was a little collectible, but I told Ma, I'd rather have a knife, about that long. So the next time she went, she brought me back one that was that long. And when I opened the blade up, it's about 6 inches long or so, at least, and longer. And we had an old tree out in the front yard where we rented, and that's all I could find to carve on. So I went out there, and I started carving on that tree, and pretty soon I had the bark all skinned off of it. And, right after that, we had to move. I can't figure out why.
And so then you continued to carve, obviously. You ended up going to the military. Now, were you carving as you went through school, though, before you went in the military? You always carved?
When I was allowed to have a knife, probably they wouldn't like that in school. So I just had to draw pictures in the back room because I didn't like school and I didn't pay attention. And later on, when we did write a book, my wife did pay attention in school. And she was much nicer than me. And so she rewrote all the stuff I wrote in Hillbilly into nice English. Pretty lot nicer than what I could write. So the first book we did, she did that, and I did the carving and took the pictures. But she did the writing and, reformed it.
Were you carving while you were in the service?
I finally had time when I was stationed on Okinawa for 18 months. There wasn't much to do over there. A friend of mine asked me one day if I needed anything from the library. And the Air Force had a big library down at Kadena Base. And I said, I wonder if there's any such thing as a book on wood carving. And he brought me back Andy Anderson's book on how to carve characters in wood, a little old 5x7 book. The first chapter was how to make your own knife out of an old straight razor, which I did. And then I found the nicest pallet wood that I could find, which wasn't too nice. And I started whittling, and I was getting into it again. And then later, when I got out and got married, I was still interested, and I kept carving. And we got called back in for the Berlin crisis. I didn't been in 3 years, so I had to go back for another year. And I was carving 2x4s by then, and went up a notch.
Upgraded your wood. Okay.
And so I made a few little carvings, and we could use some money because I only made $60 a month or something like that. It wasn't much. And we had an apartment we had to pay for, and some gas and some other things, and food. So when I wasn't too nervous because of her scaring me, I would whittle. But what she used to do, she had a shrunken head, a rubber shrunken head. And when I'd go to take a shower every night, I'd be in there with soap all over my face and in my eyes. And pretty soon, I'd open my eyes, and there's that darn shrunken head right in front of me. I almost kill myself every night in the shower because she's put a shrunken head there in front of me.
Well, that's a story I have.
Elaine, did you do that?
Yes, I did.
Good. I'm glad to hear that's the truth.
That's not one of his wild stories.
Okay, so you survived the shrunken head, and so after you got done with your military time then, did you folks come back to live in Springfield? Okay.
Well, I want to go back just a minute.
Okay.
When we were in Tacoma in our apartment, it had a tiny little bed for one person. But we were both pretty thin then, so we managed. And some of us would fall out once in a while. But she would go downtown with an old, big old grocery sack and take some of my carvings and leave them kind of show at the top of the bags. And people started asking her what she had, and we sold a few carving. But the first one we sold was to a drunk. He was so out of it, he didn't know what he was buying. We went to this thing we thought was a gift store down in Tacoma, and we went in there, talked to a guy, had a counter and a few things sitting around. We kept wondering why were all the people coming in and going in the back, and others were coming out from the back. They go in, they go out, and we don't know what was going on back there. But anyway, finally a guy came out, and he was pretty polluted. And he bought the first carving from us we ever sold. The next morning when he woke up, he probably thought, what in the world is this?
Well, it was grocery money, though, right?
It was.
Yeah, okay, okay. So then you gravitate back to Springfield.
Yeah.
Now, did you have another regular job then before you really got into your carving?
Well, all my family were roofers. I worked a little bit for them, but on payday, I never could find my uncle. So I got a job at the typewriter factory, making Royal typewriters in Springfield. And I worked there until the union started coming in. And when we would come out of the parking lot, there'd be all those guys with little pointed shoes. And I didn't know what they were dressed kind of funny. I think they were from New York or somewhere. They were with the union, and they'd try to get us to vote the union in.
Oh, yeah.
And at that time, I sold a few things to Peter Engler, who had a wood carving shop in Silver Dollar City. I had gotten acquainted with him. After a while, he offered me a job, for a permanent job, so I was working there. That was pretty good. Peter was quite a joker. Mm-hmm. He teased me all the time.
Uh-huh. And so yeah, I've heard you tell some Pete Engler stories. So he became a mentor for you as well as a boss.
Oh yeah, he was more like my brother than my boss.
Okay.
He's been gone for a few years now, and I really miss him. Mm-hmm. Nobody to tease me anymore. And anyway, then Elaine saw in the newspaper they were going to open this place up in just south of Harrison, Arkansas, called Dog Patch USA. And so we went down there and talked to them, and they said, yeah, we'd let you open a shop here. And so we rented a little building and paid them so much, for being there. And we were allowed to carve all the Dog Patch characters by Al Capp from the comic strip Little Abner. We spent, about 5 years there, I think. By that time, we had written a book or two, and so we were starting to teach. People, once you write a book, people think you know what you're talking about.
Right. Well, now, when you say write a book, you mean photos of how to carve your characters and then photos of the finished one, so people can buy your book, theoretically buy your book, and sit down and with a knife and follow your instructions to learn how to... Okay.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
The one thing that is a downer, if you carve a book, from then on, people know what you're... They think they know what you're doing. You think I know what I'm doing. But the other thing was you had to be nice. And, you know, if you got mad at somebody, you can't give them a punch or, cuss them out or whatever you want to do.
No.
You got to be on this little pedestal and just like an angel. Well, boy, I didn't like being an angel.
Did Elaine help you with that also?
Oh, she is one.
Yes. So was it hard to change him into angel status or mode?
It still is.
Thank you. Okay. So yeah, then you started teaching.
Yes. The first class I had, I didn't know how big a class should be because I'd never taught. This was at War Eagle, Arkansas. That's right on the War Eagle Creek. It's just about 80 miles west of us. So there was an Indian fellow teaching the class. Well, he wasn't too kind to the students necessarily. If somebody did something that wasn't right, he said, boy, that looks awful. Well, you can't be that way. You got to be nice.
No.
He was down to two students, and they wanted somebody to replace him. So they asked me, because I had that book out, and they thought I knew what I was doing. Well, I didn't, not necessarily. When they got me in the class, it was 25 people.
Oh, wow. That's a big one.
And I told the people, I said, I can carve some, and I can show you what I'm doing, but I have no idea how to explain it. And the fellow I was talking to said, we're all college graduates. And I had quit the ninth grade and joined the Army. And so I said, all right, I'll show you. And he said, and we'll tell you what you're doing. And that's how I learned to teach.
My students that's
told me what to say, and I showed them what to do.
So that really helped you sit in that situation?
Oh, yeah.
They kind of helped you with your process of learning to teach?
They all knew how to teach because they'd been to college.
I'll be darned. That's fascinating. I've never heard you tell that story that way about learning to teach.
That was my first attempt.
All right.
Well, I done a little bit, you know, a person uh-huh. here or there. But that was my first attempt yeah. at a big class. I thought I was going to have a heart attack. They got me up in front of all those people and introduced me, and I thought, I'm going to die right here.
From there, it just you just continued to teach and teach, and you're still teaching. Sometimes it seems to me, I've seen you people every year for I don't know how many years, and I say this to you, and I mean it, you never look any older, either one of you. So there must be something magical about this life you're living.
Yeah.
So you thoroughly enjoy what you're doing, obviously.
Yes, it doesn't make me nervous to carve. I like what I'm doing. I know a lot of people who don't like their jobs. I like my job. Mm-hmm. It's just great, and yeah. we make a living at it.
Right. So. I'm going to let Steve talk for a minute about what it's like to be in your classes, because I know he makes sure he gets his name on the top of the list when you're going to have a class that we can even consider being at. So, Steve, would you like to talk a little bit about being in one of Harold's classes?
Harold is pretty humble in the way he describes his carving. Now, if you talk to anybody that's been exposed to wood carving, whether they're a beginner or an advanced carver, they all recognize Harold as being the granddaddy of caricature carvers in the country. So that sets the stage for it. The first time I took a class with Harold, I was new to carving, and I really didn't understand who he was or just exactly how well known he was and how good he was. And I sat there waiting for my turn to have him help me. And I noticed no matter who he sat down with and what they were carving, if they had an issue, he could carve it. And two people away from me, there was a guy who wanted to finish a carving he started in somebody else's class. It was a great horned sheep. And he asked Harold if he could carve a great horned sheep. And Harold responded, if you've got a photograph of a great horned sheep, I can help you carve it. And they proceeded. That guy walked out of the class with a completed great horned sheep, and it was beautiful. Coupled with just how good he is as a carver and an instructor, he's one of the nicest people I've met in carving. I've got two instructors that are my favorites, and I take a class from them whenever I get a chance, and they both have the same approach. No matter how bad I mess up a carving, they always find something positive to say, and then they help you fix what you really messed up. Today was no exception. Harold carved a bare foot on my carving, and I was concentrating so hard on trying to copy the bare foot that when I got all done, I was admiring my work. I realized one foot was a size 8, the other was a size 12. So Harold, his next round, he reduced the 12 to an 8 so that my carving looked good.
I want to talk to Elaine for just a minute, because I've known these folks for enough years to know what an important part she is of the Enlow carving business. Elaine, you get a lot of enjoyment out of the people at all these events. Would you like to just talk a little bit about what it takes to get ready to come and get yourselves here and what you enjoy about like this, just this event, which has gone on for so many years?
We have so many friends there, and everyone. And I usually pack up everything, and I paint the carvings, and just do the paperwork to give Harold time to do his carvings. And it's just something we've done, and it's mm-hmm. just us. Mm-hmm. And so that's about it. We just...
I see people, when we arrive, I've always seen one person after another coming up to your table. Everybody knows Elaine Enlow because she's the woman behind the man, right? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
I've seen that they both do a tremendous amount of work. Any couple who comes and one is the instructor and one's the support, it's amazing the amount of work and admirable the work that's involved in coming and being a part of a seminar like this. I do a little chip carving, and many years ago I was asked to just do a little teaching, and I said no thank you, because I didn't want to put on Steve what it would take to do that, because it takes two people for most instructors. It takes a couple and supporting one another to be able to do that. Is there anything more that either one of you would like to include in our talk here about carving at the Ozarks Wood Carving Seminar?
She left out something. Oh. When she's telling me I need to get ready, she said, need to take a bath. And I had just had a New Year's resolution that I'd take a bath maybe at least once a month, you know, maybe once a week and maybe once a month. And then now I come up here, I have to do that. So I can't live up to my resolution.
Thank you. I'm not going to ask Elaine if that's the truth or not. It doesn't really matter.
That's the truth.
Okay. Thank you, both of you, for sitting down and talking with us. I think anybody listening can tell why my husband loves to take part in a class with Harold Inlow, and I love to go sit with Elaine and at her table where she's running the business end of things and visit. These Ozarks Wood Carving Seminars are a lot of fun every year. Steve and I look forward to coming down, and thank you, both of you, for being with us this evening. This is Maggie Westfold, KHOI Community Radio, and if you've just joined us, we've been talking wood carving during this past hour. Early on, I shared information about the upcoming Adventures in Wood event to be held May 5th at Ryman Gardens. To find out more about that annual show, go to www.rymangardens.com, or you can check out the Mid-Iowa Wood Carvers or the Ryman Gardens Facebook pages. You can also call Larry Mitchell, the show's chairman, at 515-357-5110. We also heard about the Ozarks Wood Carving Seminar held each March in Springfield, Missouri, and we listened to three interviews with carvers and instructors from Missouri, Arkansas, and Texas. If you just tuned in and would like to listen to these folks talk about their love for carving wood and all about the annual Ozarks Wood Carving Seminar, this local talk program will be aired again on Monday, April 30th at 7 p.m. on 89.1 FM. Local Talk airs regularly on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 7 a.m., noon, and 7 p.m. here on KHOI at 89.1 FM. Also, remember that you can hear a recording of today's show online at khoifm.org and find links to the guests and information you heard during the program. KHOI is streaming live online at khoifm.org. Our theme song, as always, is Backtrackin' by Tom Richards and Al Harris from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Local Talk is a radio production workshop as well as a show. So if you would like to try your hand at reporting, we'll train you. Come and join the Local Talk team. A reminder, also, it is spring fundraising time here at KHOI, and we're asking you, our listeners, to please donate to help us keep entertaining programming like Local Talk on the air. Our spring fundraising goal is $25,000, and a basic membership is $55. That's just 15 cents a day. Go to khoifm.org and use the donate button, or you can call 215-292-2728. I'm sorry, 515-292-2878. 515-292-2878. Or stop by the station at 410 Douglas and see what we're all about, and please consider contributing. You might give that $55 membership as a gift to someone. If you have hard to buy for people in your life, Mother's Day is coming up. That would be a wonderful gift to give, one that could be enjoyed every day in the year ahead. Remember, you, the listener, are what makes KHOI meaningful and possible. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you again on the radio.